Friends, welcome to the Waterworks Ministries podcast. I'm Karen Weiss, and I've got Missy Schoon over here with me. And I've actually had requests for, you know, not sermons in the last week. So, woo, here you go. You get to hear Missy and I riff on roles and idols and forges and all kinds of things today.
Forges. In the,
like the
metallurgical smelting yeah. Forges, swords and things.
Swords.
It'll make sense at some point.
Yeah. So if we have piqued your curiosity, because as I was told last week at my networking group, I really know how to sell things. Because I said something about my dance performance being both awkward and amusing. And then someone piped up and said, "You're really selling it, Karen." I am who I am.
You were not a marketing major in college. Let's just be clear.
I was an engineer who studied groundwater contamination. Like, we're our own weird breed.
Yes, you are.
So anyway, on that note,
I'm just kind of laughing inside because can you imagine if someone does a Google search out there for forges and like this podcast pops up? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be fantastically awesome? Just saying.
That would be awesome. So you're not going to learn how to blacksmith today.
Sadly.
Yeah.
No.
Our husbands, I don't think, would let us around that kind of fire.
They
would strongly object, and we would have to go do it on like a field trip.
Yours is a hypothetical, mine is fact. We'll get to that.
So we thought, yes, we'd talk about things that are going on in our lives and how we experience Jesus and some of the things that might seem a bit counterintuitive to what I will call the average Christian, if there is such a thing.
Yeah.
Would you like to start out with, what do you want to start out with, Missy?
Oh my heavens, that's a loaded question. And in full disclosure, we are recording this on what feels like day number 97 of rain in central Pennsylvania. It is a little after noon. People were wearing winter coats today. Mm. I love hot weather. I love beautiful weather. So I was a little cantankerous about that. And then I've just been, well, that's not true. Last week we were talking about the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to lay this at his feet. Yep, I'm going to do it. The Holy Spirit has just been drawing my eye to things that have been troubling me in the world. So I'm coming into this with a little bit of angst and a little bit of questioning, a whole lot of sadness for our world, but also hope. So chew on that for a second. I'm a unicorn. I'm a unicorn today. But Karen and I were talking about where individuals have treated us in ways or spoken to us in ways or encouraged us to do things in ways that really it wasn't their place to make those statements to us. And in some of those times we were hurt, really hurt. And in other times it was used as a catalyst to move forward. So something we were talking about here earlier, Karen and I were the different roles and wing our lane, especially in the world today where things seem pretty topsy-turvy, but they're really no different than any other time, the history, just different technology, different stuff. So that's kind of, maybe that's where we start. Just how do we even know what our role in this world is supposed to be. That's a loaded question. So, wow. That's okay. You asked.
I did.
You asked me what I was thinking, and that's where I'm at.
And that's a giant umbrella.
It really is. But we can take just one, you know, when you're holding the umbrella, which we have been in central Pennsylvania for 97 days. But when you're looking at an umbrella, it's not just one piece, right? You've got the different prongs that hold it up. Yeah. So we'll just take one. Let's just look at one prong let's look at the handle that holds it all together. How about we start there? Oh, and newsflash, that would be our risen Lord.
Yeah, that's I was going to say, for us as Christians, that would be Jesus.
That's Jesus.
And it's always both entertaining and frustrating, I think, to have conversations with people about how we, as 21st century believers, are supposed to act in the world. Mm-hmm. As most of my clients are leaders, whether they're lay leaders or they're, you know, clergy leaders, there's a lot of kind of consternation and grinding of teeth about other people's perceptions, other people's expectations, you know, who is God calling me to be, but how can I lead in the midst of what I think God is inviting me to, like a lot of complex questions. Yeah. And for me, because I've had to do this with spiritual direction and coaching and even pastoral leadership, I have come to the practice, I'll say, not even a belief, but more of a practice, that I do not bring all of myself to these different roles. Some of you right now are freaking out because we're supposed, aren't we supposed to be our selves all the time?
Absolutely.
We can't do that. Mm-mm. For those of us that wear like 18 different hats, I can't be my, like I can with Missy, to my parishioners. Right. Okay, so hopefully you are still hearing us, and we're going to go back because my internet went wah wah. And yes, so
wow.
So we continue. Hopefully we didn't lose the first part of it.
That's crazy.
So keep talking. The judgy hats.
The judgy hats. You know, when I'm watching or I'm interacting or I'm just perceiving how other people are behaving, if they are not believers, not to hold people to an expectation that I have for their behavior, but also it's a lie that we tell ourselves. I feel, I've seen it, I've done it. Not proud of this, so confession time, that I've used the fact that I am a Christian as my reason for behaving in ways that hurt other people by calling them out for things that as believers we should not be engaging in, mm-hmm. when that's not my job. Mm-hmm. And it's that conflict where Karen and I both work in worlds where we are not able to be the same. We're the same person. Don't misunderstand. We're still the same person that God created us to be, but we are in the world in roles that we cannot always lead with the same ideology. Mm-hmm. We're the same person, but how we present and how we reflect the character of Jesus is very different. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And to me, it's summed up in one word, which is context.
Yes.
You have to know where you're at and be able to read the room.
Know your audience.
Know your audience. Yeah. Because
your audience.
There's not a blanket or pat response for everything. I had somebody come up to me last week after worship and ask me how to engage with someone who is an atheist. And my first kind of response was, well, have you asked them what kind of God they believe in? Because if it's like the judgy, harsh, punishing God, you can say that you don't believe in that God either. And so, you know, start that. And the person said, well, he doesn't believe in anything. Like it's blank. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, if that is true, because I don't know this person. I said, if that's true, you can start the conversation with, well, then how do you make meaning of your life?
Because that person does find meaning in their life.
Yeah. Like,
where does that come from?
So
asking the question.
Asking the question and being curious. Because it's our job to get to know people in all kinds of situations, like Jesus did. One of the reasons he went to parties and he went to weddings and, you know, he hung out with people who, well, they weren't in the cool kid club.
Matthew, before he's our Matthew,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Those and, people, you know, us before we came to know him.
Well, and even us during.
And well, even right now. Yeah.
Let's be real.
That's true.
Jesus hung out with a lot of Jews. So I'm assuming Jesus hangs out with a lot of Christians too that have missed the plot. But like he got to know them. He spent time with them. He listened to their jokes. He listened to what they cared about. And I'm sure, because we have this in scripture, even at these parties and these gatherings and that kind of thing, where we don't have the conversations recorded, I'm sure Jesus asked a ton of questions. Because whenever he was asked a question, most of the time, he either answered with a parable or a question back.
Right.
Like, he sometimes did it, I think, to annoy the Pharisees or the Sadducees or whoever. But most of the time, I think it was to reframe the conversation, because the question wasn't applicable.
Right.
Like when whoever it was came to him and was like, so if, you know, a man dies and his wife marries the brother and then he dies and then the wife marries the next brother, yes, you know, does she have seven husbands in heaven? Jesus is like, you guys are on drugs. This is obviously the Karen interpretation.
Yeah. I was just wondering which.
I'm not sure what mushrooms you've been eating, but no one cares about that question.
Right. That's not the question we need to be talking about right now. Let's reframe.
Yeah. I don't care about this question and I'm God. Like,
right.
Right. It's irrelevant to the whole eternal life conversation.
But that sums up the frailty of human thinking right there. We get so caught up in details that do not matter.
Yeah.
I mean, don't go out and tell people that their thoughts and their, because that again is another way that we hurt people.
Yeah.
But that was Jesus showing us, you know, let's think about the things that really matter. Because
mm-hmm.
what I just would love to have seen Jesus's face in that. Because when you read scripture, it's one of those that I'm like, I just wish the writer could have given us a little more.
Yeah. A little bit more of a facial reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Did he keep it together?
Were there laughter points in this conversation that were involved.
Yeah. Was there a strong eye roll?
Did he look at him and say, really?
Yeah.
Did I just hear you right?
No, all the things.
And I'm not judging the man who asked the question, because no. I ask ridiculous questions myself.
Mm-hmm. But we also have to realize how Jesus responded,
mm-hmm.
and take into account that we are still learning. We are still growing. We are still transforming. And so sometimes Jesus responds to us that way, with a very simple, you have missed the plot.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to talk to you about this. So for those of you who are listening, if you've never had Jesus respond that way, there's a dangerous prayer for you.
But I encourage you to do it, because boy, does it stretch the old rubber band of your faith.
And it ends up being funny.
In hindsight, it is funny, because then you do have to take a look at what is it that you were praying about or praying for, or what actions were you taking without stopping to question, God, is this you calling me to do this? Or is this me saying, I got this one, God, you can sit this one out.
Yeah. Here, hold my beer.
Hold God. My beer, God, because I got this one. And he's like, this. Here we go. Here she goes again.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Stepping outside my role. Stepping out, or wanting somebody else's role.
Mm-hmm.
Or wanting to be right.
Mm-hmm. Or wanting to be perceived as successful. Yeah, or wanting to be secure. Like all these things that drive our personalities to do things that maybe God doesn't want us to.
But you know, one of the cool things about continually seeking more Jesus and growing deeper in relationship and discerning his desires for our life and our roles, and roles can change in different seasons of life. What's been really cool to see is, and I can say this for myself and I can say it for Karen, because we've both had this happen. We both are able to function in vastly different realms and roles. Mm. But as we have come to know Jesus better and ask him to help us reflect what he wants us to reflect more, we are much better suited now to be the same person at our core in all of those roles. And our behaviors really don't change.
Mm-mm.
It's just a change. So as I was thinking about, you know, us saying, you know, you can't be your authentic self. You have to be authentically seeking more Jesus so that he can help mold you into who he wants you to be. But it's how you present yourself and how you speak to others and how you act. And I'm in roles out in secular world much, much more often than I'm not. But how I carry myself, how I respond, how I am always truthful, how I am always asking questions, that's not different from how I am when I'm with other believers. I'm just able to speak more about my love for the Lord. But that's really the only difference. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have to be careful, because we're not called to go out and... Some people are called to go out and be evangelists. If that's not your call, don't be putting that hat on and trying to do it, because it can be disastrous. We'll just leave that there.
Yeah. Yes. If you would like to step in that snake pit.
If you're not called to it, go with God.
Yeah. Not my circus, not my monkeys.
No.
But yeah, there's something to be said for... It's for me, the transformation has been more of, I am confident in who I am, and I don't need to like what I'll call super change or adjust who I am in the context.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can be myself, but I'm also aware of the people around me, of what my function is in that space. And so, yeah, there are lots of times where it's not appropriate to talk about Jesus.
Right. And that's not diminishing his importance in my life.
Yeah. There are other times, like in my tap class, we were picking music. And we were listening to different things, and our tap teacher really liked this one song from Selma with John Legend and Common. I love me some Common. Love me some Common. And at one point, Common mentions Jesus. And because as anyone who has studied the civil rights movement in the United States in the 60s knows that it was the people of the Black churches that stood up to tell people that they were people. They deserved respect and honor and dignity.
Yes.
And it was because of their relationship with Jesus Christ that they could say that, and they could stand confident in that and be faced with hate and violence and still reflect the love of Jesus. Anybody who knows anything about the civil rights movement knows this is true.
That's history.
It's history.
That is verified history.
And one of the people in my class was like, oh, well, we can't use that because it mentions Jesus. We want to be inclusive. And I was like, what do you mean? And the person said, well, we don't really try to mention any religion, you know, or anything like that, because, you know, we want it to be open. And I was actually very surprised I pushed back, because tap is like my thing. It doesn't, it's what I do for fun. It's self-care. Anyway,
you're not Deacon Karen.
I'm not Deacon Karen in my tap class.
Mm-hmm.
But I did, I pushed back and I said, historically speaking, if we take Jesus out of the civil rights movement of the 60s, especially in the South, we are taking out like 75% of the reason it happened. It yes. becomes historically inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
I shut that conversation down real quick. Because there are times like this, or like even if you're talking about the Crusades,
right?
They're a hot mess. People are like, oh, people did it in the name of Jesus. No. They did it in the name of money and power and land.
Yes. They used
Jesus
as their cover.
As their cover, but it was really because of many other things.
Look
right?
at the motivations. Look, Karen.
Yeah.
We don't rehearse any of this. We don't talk about this, but I'm just sitting here like, preach it, sister. Two beautifully historic examples. And I do say beautifully, because we can look at this when we are trying to discern our role in this madness called humanity. God has a purpose for us, but many times our motivations get in the way. So when you're talking about the Crusades, what in their actions reflected the character of God?
Ooh, very,
very
little.
Few. You look at the motivations and the actions of the civil rights uprisings in the South out of the Black American churches, and look at what their actions. They were peaceful. They were preaching love. They were in unity. They were saying, our table is open to everyone. We don't care if you are Black, if you are white. We are all brothers. We are all sisters. People want to talk about Martin Luther King Jr. What an amazing, amazing man. But he was a man.
Mm-hmm.
But look at what we reflect on. He had issues, because we all do. But he said, you know, he had a dream that one day there would be no, and that was based out of his faith. So you have the Crusades where they were pillaging and raping and stealing and amassing wealth versus individuals, when you're talking about Selma, locking arms and marching, saying, we are all created in the image of God. So that motivation is huge. I have to check my motivation on the daily.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
On the hourly.
And if you're not aware of your motivation, why you do what you do, that's a place to start.
It's a great question to start with.
Because it comes down to being like the essence of our relationship with God in a lot of ways. Like we can't hear what God is saying to us if our motivation is clouded with personal desires and sin, essentially.
Right.
Like it's because God's voice gets crowded out.
It's looking and through overshadowed. The dirty, it's looking through the dirty window.
Yeah.
Like sin clouds our vision. No matter how faithful we try to be, we want to be, sin mucks it up and we're looking through dirty lenses and we have, you know, swimmer's ear. We can't hear correctly.
We can't hear either.
But God will get us to refocus if we will just let him.
But and it's painful. Oh, gosh, and that's, you know, so many people, and I do it too. I get cranky when things don't go my way. But one of the things I remind myself on a regular basis is that Jesus did not promise us an easy life.
No, he did not. He actually told us quite the contrary.
Yeah. And so when I get my panties in a bunch because things are not going the way that I want them to, or I'm struggling with something, or, you know, it seems like nothing, all my effort is being stomped on. I get it out of my system and then I move on. Because A, pity parties can only last so long. And B, Jesus also in scripture doesn't let people have pity parties.
No,
not for very long anyway.
He will let us rage for a hot minute. And then it's like, okay, are we done?
Yeah.
Does this really matter?
Mm-hmm.
Is this an eternal consequence that someone cut you off on the highway? Like I had happen yesterday and I was really cranky and mad. And then I realized, well, that was stupid. Nothing happened. Can anyone relate? But that's what the enemy wants, right?
Yeah.
The enemy wants us to be distracted and to put on hats that aren't ours to wear. And I mean, and that's just gross, wearing somebody else's hat that's not yours. I mean, that's just the germaphobe in me. But is that whole, I had someone say last week in the group that I'm in, it's just overwhelming. There's so much evil around us today. And I just feel so tired because I can't fight it all. And I walked away from that thinking, how sad that this gal thinks that everything that troubles her is her fight. You know, that's how I'm going to show Jesus how much I love him. That's what she said. And I'm thinking,
probably not in that tone, but maybe.
Well, maybe. I may be.
You may.
I may be Kardashianizing the woman just because I do that sometimes. But I thought, because my initial reaction was, oh my gosh, really? But then I'm like, okay, judgy pants, let's stop that. And then I felt sad for her. That she doesn't know what lane she should be in, if any, and that's the hardest, right? When something really gets in you and just, man, you really don't like it. God says, it's not yours, not yours. And you just, and that's where prayer comes in, because then I take it to him and I'm like, I know that there's nothing that I can physically do or say or be, but I really don't like this. And then I'm okay. I can leave it.
Sometimes.
Well, I didn't say how quickly I leave it. Okay.
Like it does not take nearly as short a time as she just made it out to seem.
I did not give any time. I made no statement on how long.
But let's be clear, it often is not as short as the way that she just summarized it.
This is true.
For either one of us.
I was just saying, kettle speaking over here.
Yeah. But one of the things that I keep coming back to is that when you find your banner, as I call it, when you find the thing that God wants you to focus on, life gets a lot easier, mm-hmm. especially in terms of social justice things or mission things or, you know, compassion and outreach, right? We can't do everything. And one of the things that Missy, you helped me learn a long time ago, along with my global ministries experience, is that giving $25 to 17 different charities is not as helpful as giving, you know, $150 or $200 to three or four charities, mm-hmm. and doing that consistently. It's because as individuals can't care about 17 different things.
No.
And we as churches or organizations can't care about 17 different things.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, you can care about them, but you're not called to be a change agent,
yes.
or to bring the light to them.
Mm-hmm.
It just gets watered down and then you don't care about anything.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that the Lord has placed a passion? And you know, this is going to sound terrible and Karen may edit this out. I don't know.
No,
I'm going to say
no edits.
She may wish that she did. We're talking going on 15 years ago, maybe more at this point. The Lord really placed a burden on both my and Karen's hearts. And understand, as much as we are very alike, we are also very different people. Mm-hmm. Okay. But this is a common issue that was placed on both of our hearts many, many years ago. And we're not out there publicly doing a lot of things about this or marching in the streets or, you know, sending emails, doing all those things, but do not underestimate the passion that we have in the world of human trafficking. Now, here's a funny part. Back when it was first placed on our hearts, Karen and I don't even know if you'll remember this. I'm sure you will. And again, it goes back to discerning what it is that God wants you to do in your role. We both were convinced that at some point around this time now that mm-hmm. we're living in, that we would be called to go to places like Pakistan. Do you remember? Yes. And, you know, be active crusaders in rescuing individuals mm-hmm. who were being trafficked in that industry. We can laugh about that now. But here's the part about God's faithfulness that I was really thinking about a couple of weeks ago when a woman was sharing with me how God had just all of a sudden burdened her with human trafficking. Hmm. As horrible as that is, and as disgusting as it is, and I wish that God would just snap his finger and make it stop, people are now talking about it. Mm-hmm. And doing things about it, both within the church and outside the church. And this is something that Karen and I have been praying against for many, many, many years. And God had to show us, what is your role in this? Mm-hmm. And we have been praying against it, speaking when it's appropriate. But really, it's been a prayer battle.
Mm-hmm. And the chocolate and coffee that I
buy. Well, and the fair trade purchases that we can all make, and, you know, over the years becoming much more aware and having it be more available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's been incredibly helpful. I've been praying for companies to wake up mm-hmm. and say we can do better. So all of those small things that we have been doing for so long, now we're starting to be like, okay, God, you're moving. Mm-hmm. And we didn't see it, we didn't feel it, but I mean, seriously, we were like, we're going to be living in Pakistan. By the time my son is graduating from college, we're probably going to be looking at it. And God just was like, okay, girls, just
have,
okay.
You have misinterpreted.
You have misinterpreted the message. But at that time, we were much more focused on, you know, like Marvel superhero type stuff. Like, well, we're going to go do all these things and action and not what listening. What we
thought of as action at that time.
And a lot of times when we're talking about roles, we've been talking a lot about how we do and how we present. A lot of times your role is to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And to just maybe say, Lord, this is yours, and walk away. But ask those questions. And it comes back, you know, we were talking about being curious and just keep asking those questions. But know that the first question you ask is never the real question, at least for me. The first question that I ask is never what I'm really. Because I mean, so Jesus with the dude, like, well, if her husband dies and she marries, his question wasn't necessarily, well, what's really going to be for her when she gets to heaven, right? And Jesus knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked him again. Yeah, so cool.
There's often a question underneath the question.
There's always the question before the question. Always. Because we censor ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so an exercise that we can do is sit with our first question, the first one that comes to mind, and ask ourselves what's underneath that question. And keep going until there's nothing that bubbles up. And as you're listening to this, you might think that I've gone off on crazy land. But it's an exercise in discernment.
Absolutely.
And an exercise, like we were talking about earlier,
know your motivation.
There are so many different ways of developing our self-awareness and self-discovery through the action of the Holy Spirit that some of them seem very peculiar. This might seem really peculiar to you, but we can't help others and disciple others if we're not willing to look inside ourselves. We can't.
Yeah.
Like if, you know, it's like the blind leading the blind, or, well, not in Beethoven's case, but like, you know, the deaf person writing music. Like,
Well, let's be clear. Beethoven, we know his name for a reason.
Yes. Yeah. He was exceptional.
and I believe that God wanted that music to be enjoyed. So here we are.
And it was contemporary music at one time,
which is so awesome to think about. People were like, that Beethoven music, who's listening to that? Who listens to Common? That's right. If you don't know who we're talking about, Please use the Google.
Yeah, use the Google.
You will not be disappointed.
Mm-mm.
At least I don't think you will.
No, not at all. All you have to do is put John Legend, Common, and Selma in the Google search, and up it'll come.
And you will be up to speed with our conversation.
But yeah, there's just so many different opportunities that God gives us. And with the world being so full of anxiety right now, part of it is that we are not discerning where to put our energy. And if we as Christians can do the hard work of discernment to figure out where God wants us to put our energy, we will have more peace. We will have more joy. We will still have sorrow. We will still have anger and frustration and consternation.
Mm-hmm.
We talked last time about wanting to smite people. That will still come up.
It will. Hopefully just less, but it will still be there.
But even if it's not less, those are the things that we bring to God and say, you know, I know this is not where you're calling me. At least I don't think it is.
Yeah.
So I expect you to do something about this.
and he will.
And those are my conversations with God in exactly those words. Yeah. This is not mine. So I expect you to do something with this.
Right. Did you place this in my field of vision for a reason, or am I mishearing you? Mm-hmm. You need to clear this up for me.
Yeah. And that is part of it too, where, you know, random things can come onto our path that seem like huge things, you know, huge obstacles or huge stones that need to be rolled away. Right. And sometimes God just wants us to crawl over them.
Yeah.
Like God is not asking us to clear the path for those behind us. Sometimes. So it's in that discernment. It's in that motivation. It's in knowing these things about ourselves and about the character of God that go together so that we can, in some ways, stay on the path God has for us.
I mean, and sometimes, you know, the rock, to take mm-hmm. that mental picture, sometimes that rock that we have come up to us seems like an annoyance mm-hmm. that we should just pick up and move. But the people coming behind us or the next people walking that path, it's going to be a boulder that God wants to use in their life to help them. And if we pick it up and move it, then we're not helping those people behind us.
We're doing a disservice
to them. And I mean, and this can happen when you're talking with someone, because words are beyond powerful, and we know that. But sometimes, you know, we've been talking a lot about us asking the questions, but as you are just living your life as a believer and reflecting those characteristics as the best that you can, even though we all fall short, but, you know, you're really doing the best that you can with the power of the Holy Spirit behind you, and people start to notice and they start to ask you questions. Mm-hmm. That's where it's so important to take that extra stop, hit pause. Mm-hmm. And I will many, many times say a prayer very quickly, Lord, is this a question that I should engage? Should I redirect to someone else? Or should I just be listening? Like, what's my role in that? Because a lot of times Christians, when they have someone ask a question, they're like, oh, here's my chance.
Yeah.
And like, they start to word vomit all over the person. And the person actually did, that wasn't the question that they were, right? The question before the question. So we have to be careful in how we respond if we are receiving end of a question. Mm-hmm. So should I share about Father Fred?
Sure.
Okay. So many, many years ago, when I was a youth coming up, coming from a family where there were multiple denominations, mm-hmm. shall we say, and I'm not going to get into what they were, but you will figure this out. So I was going through a process to make the decision about joining a particular denomination. And a part of this process that is still used today is you would go through classes and you would have consultations. And this particular experience that I was having, I had a lot of questions. And when I went to speak with Father Fred, that probably just gave it away.
There are other people that are called.
There are other people in other denominations, but I had a lot of questions before I could go through the confirmation process. And I will never forget saying, I have all of these questions. And he said, what types of questions do you have? So he did a really good thing, right? He was like mirroring back to me, what are your questions? And I remember at that young age, I was like, well, I'll just start with the really big one. The whole Trinity thing is just really, I'm having a hard time unpacking the Trinity. I remember saying this. And he said to me, yours is not to question. Yours is to have a blind faith. And I walked out and I said to my family, I'm not doing it. Now, I carried that for a long time with a lot of anger and a lot of resentment. Like, well, why didn't he just answer me? Well, he had the answer, right? But through time, what I came to understand is that was an important marker in my walk with the Lord, that it's okay to ask questions, even of people who are in quote unquote authority figures, because my ultimate authority is God, the Creator himself. And he was able to help me reconcile. And I still have questions about the Trinity. If anyone says, oh, I've got that figured out. Okay, good for you. I don't think we're intended to fully embrace the fullness of the triune God.
But I would that's think a whole they other. Might be trying to form a cult or something. Right? I would be skeptical of.
Or applying human characteristics to, anyways.
Yeah.
But what it did was it allowed me to ask questions and dig for the answers myself. So I guess I would say, as you're asking the questions, be careful where you go and source your answers. Mm-hmm. Scripture, dialogue with God, those are your places to get the truth, and then to test it with another believer, another mature believer. But don't automatically think that your mature believer friend or colleague or whatever is going to always have the right answers, because they're trying to figure out their junk too. Mm-hmm. So the testing it or is like, always,
you know,
good.
If somebody has a radio program, or, you know,
this podcast, even.
Yeah, everything. This podcast. We are humans and we mess up.
And God wants to have a personal relationship with you. Yeah. Not a personal relationship with your pastor or your father or your friend or your mm-hmm. neighbor to tell you. He wants that intimacy with you. Mm-hmm. So anything that's getting in the way of that personal intimacy with him, we need to be aware of it and try to address it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot of.
Yeah. Do you want to tell the Ford story?
The Ford story. I almost forgot. Oh my gosh. The Ford story. Okay. So we can be really, okay. So this is going to take like a really hard left, but trust me, it is related. So we can be really critical as believers when we're studying the Old Testament or we're talking about biblical times, right? We can be like, oh my gosh, can you believe what they did? And one of the things that comes up throughout the Old Testament, lots of idol worship, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, God's speaking through the prophets, you know, stop putting other gods before me, you know, small g. And we can be critical and be like, I can't believe that they did that. Well, newsflash, we have our own idols today. So back some years ago, there was a television show. I don't even remember what it was, but it was all about people using forges to like make swords and different things. And it was a competition. And I was absolutely, it captured my fascination to the point that I thought that I wanted a forge. And wouldn't that be so cool? And my husband was like, no. That's not happening. You're not. And then I recruited my son, like he's on board. Like this would be such a great activity we could do together. And my husband was like, okay, first of all,
family bonding
over the forge. We researched it. You know, anyways. So I thought that I needed a forge because I was going to, you know, melt steel and make things out of whatever. But yeah. And my husband in his wisdom was like, that's not happening. You would burn yourself up and probably, you know,
burn the house down
as well. but something as I really, and I was mad because I wanted it. Like, I was like, it'd be a great gift. I went there. I researched. As I sat with that disappointment that I couldn't have a forge, which is bizarre to even say. Something that I realized, I'm not creating idols out of a forge. I'm not making the golden calf. You know, when the Israelites were like, Moses is taking way too long up there, let's just make these calves and we'll be fine. You know, that's not what I was wanting to make with this forge, you know. But too often we can be critical of other people without seeing the idol that's right before us. And that's something that I've been chewing a lot on lately. Like, and this is a prayer that's scary because he'll answer, you know, Lord, reveal to me the idols in my life today that are keeping me away from you. But the funny thing about idols, they can do more. They can even, now keeping me away from God is the number one horrible thing that they do. But another sneaky tactic that idols can have is they can redirect my attentions to things that I should not be focusing on. So yeah, but I still think it would be really cool to be able to make things. But yeah, my husband was like, really? You want to make swords? You what? So anyway, so if any listeners have a forge or have experience with them, you're cool. and I'm a little jealous.
But, if you're ever in central Pennsylvania, get a hold of us through the podcast.
And we would love to.
And we would love to have a lesson.
Karen and I even looked. I remember because I pulled her into my insanity, because that's what I do. We were even looking to see if there were any, you know, art studios around that offered. They don't. So it's just funny. It's just funny. But now I do think back to that. And it's like, you know, that's something that I really, really, really wanted. And the irony of it is not lost on me that they were forging idols. And I was convinced that I was.
You needed to forge things.
I needed to forge things in my garage. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Aren't we all?
Just know my lane.
So we'll leave you with that today. You've gotten a few different opportunities for reflection, things to think about, very questions to ask God potentially that will transform your life if you let them. Yeah. And so, yeah. Well, friends, A, stay curious.
Yes.
And B, go in grace and peace.